government's financial bailout fund could have new life.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. There are reports this morning that the Obama administration is about to announce an extension of the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program into next year. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The bailout fund, or Troubled Asset Relief Program, was meant to expire at the end of this year. President Obama acknowledged in a speech yesterday how controversial the program has been.
I don't think I have to tell you, there has rarely been a less loved or more necessary emergency program than TARP.
But Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner told Congress recently it would be a mistake to wind the program down completely, saying parts of the financial system were still in big trouble. Some reports say $175 billion of TARP money will go to reducing the federal deficit. That chunk of funds comes from the money banks are expected to return to the government by the end of next year. But there's still some TARP money that hasn't even been allocated yet. It's those funds that are likely to go towards new programs such as job creation schemes. Republicans have been pressing the administration to use any unused or returned TARP money solely to reduce the deficit. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You know who didn't say a word about a TARP extension? The Congressional Oversight Panel. Their monthly report is out, and it says while the bailout program helped stabilize the financial system, it hasn't done much to boost lending or stem foreclosures. Let's check numbers. Shares in Europe are mainly lower, under a quarter of a percent, although French shares are up right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P lost a percent. The Dow closed down 104 points at 10,285. Asian markets were mostly off today. The Nikkei shed 1.3%, reaction to Japan's revised GDP coming in lower than expected, and debt problems in Greece and Dubai pushing the yen up and hurting Japanese exports such as Honda. Well, Volkswagen is buying a 20% stake in Suzuki. That deal, worth $2.5 billion, increases VW's share of the Indian market, where Suzuki's small cars are popular. Ford is still trying to figure out what to do with Volvo. Geely, the Chinese car maker, seems interested, but Ford's gotten a couple of other bids for the Swedish brand. What's the appeal? We asked Marketplace's Elisa Roth to take a look.
The lead bid is from Geely, but a consortium of American investors is interested, and this week a Swedish consortium said it is too. John Cassessa is an auto analyst in New York, and he says the big draw is the Volvo brand itself.
It's a recognized global brand name. It's an upscale brand name, and it absolutely owns a critical positioning in the auto industry. That's safety.
Geely says it's already lined up funding, and the company's reportedly willing to pay around $2 billion for Volvo. Eric Merkel's an auto industry analyst in Michigan, and he says for Geely, this is about more than just a name.
It would give them access to other markets outside of China, and it would also allow them to, say, fast-track their safety and quality of their vehicles back home in China.
China's the world's biggest market for cars, and it's kept growing, even as people stop buying cars elsewhere. Ford is selling Volvo along with companies like Land Rover and Jaguar, so it can concentrate on its own brand. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
America Online officially splits from Time Warner today. The online company is trying to reinvent itself, offering new services, even a new logo. For a lot of people, AOL was an introduction to email, but a lot's changed, and they're hoping a new image helps them move the product forward. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
A few months ago, I started getting emails from friends and colleagues saying they were switching their email from Yahoo or Hotmail to Gmail. That's Google. I have a Yahoo address. Do they know something I don't? Is my email sending its own message about me? Duke University marketing professor Ken Wilber says yes.
It's like your haircut or the designer of the shirt that you're wearing. It's something that people notice, and it's part of the package.
I needed to know more, so I turned to DeLassie Michalis. He's Marketplace's web developer, and he thinks about these kinds of things.
As soon as somebody says that they're, you know, so-and-so at earthlink.net or hotmail.com, I'd really, it's an oh my God moment. Do you know what the internet is? Yahoo is like, okay. And then if you're Gmail, you're like, I can take you seriously.
What about AOL?
You said AOL. Wow. Is it still around? I mean, I can't believe it's still around.
Had my AOL email account for a little over 15 years.
Bert Flickinger is the managing director of the Strategic Resource Group. He tells retailers how to market things to young shoppers. What do clients say when he gives them his email?
When I give them an AOL email address, they say, I can't believe you're still on AOL. And I say, well, it's simple. I have one of the original addresses with no numbers, so it's easier for you to type.
There are 50 million Flickingers out there. Hotmail has 200 million users, Yahoo 260 million. Gmail is gaining on them, but 500 million people can't be uncool. Still, it's not about numbers, says Duke University's Ken Wilber. He says an email address is part of your brand, and if you're looking for a job or networking, the wrong address can make you look out of touch.
I really like to think about it as sort of the cardstock that you print your business cards on. You know, if you are out there looking for a job, then it certainly is something you want to think about in terms of what kind of image you're projecting.
So if you think your email address needs to send a new message, might be time to tell the old one
goodbye.
In Los Angeles at gmail.com, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, the people at research company Pantone supply and track color for fashion and home decor. Their chosen color for 2009 was mimosa yellow. Their choice for 2010? Turquoise. They say the bluish-green color reminds people of being on vacation at a resort. Items from eyeshadow to cookware will likely feature the color. Fashion designers are using words like invigorating and transporting to describe it. Tommy Hilfiger loves the hue on women, but says men should stick to light or dark blues. Fashion note taken. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.